On this episode, I talk to a guy who says stop marketing and start engaging. That's right, it's my interview with Scott Stratton, author of Unmarketing. I'm Bob Baker, and this is the Artist Empowerment Radio Podcast. Welcome to episode 61 of the podcast. You may have noticed that intro is a little bit different than usual. I've pretty much had the same intro music and voiceover for some years now, and I love that intro, but I thought I'd mix things up. And maybe if it goes well, maybe I'll either continue to mix it up or I'll continue to use this, but that particular track that you listen to is actually something that I created with my girlfriend, with my very significant other, Pookie. She and I have a side music project that we've been working on for the last few months. It's called Soul Massage, kind of an electronic thing with I guess you could describe it as affirmative lyrics weaved into the music. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of that with you. If you are interested in hearing about more of what we're doing, what we're up to musically there, you can go to soulmassagemusic.com. That's soulmassagemusic.com. Get on the mailing list. Check out some of the samples there. I'm going to be posting more stuff as time goes along. So what the heck? I talk about music marketing all the time. I've been a musician for decades. I may as well weave in some of my own stuff, huh? You're not going to hold that against me, are you? I hope not. All right, on this episode, I'm going to give you part of my interview with Scott Stratton. He's the author of Unmarketing, which is a book that's been making the rounds. It's out in a major publisher, and he actually has some experience in the music business, and he shares some of that and a lot of what he's learned in the social media realm on this clip. Of course, as usual, this is a portion of the interview. The full interviews that I do along these lines are for members of my music marketing mentorship program, but I always like to share a good chunk of them with whoever wants to listen and learn from them. So without further ado, here is some of my interview with Scott Stratton.
So on the phone with me right now is Scott Stratton. He's the author of a book called Unmarketing, Stop Marketing and Start Engaging. Hello, Scott.
Hey, how are you, everybody? Thanks for having me on.
Sure. I'm thrilled to be talking to you. I've actually you came on my radar sometime in the past year or so in the blogosphere or Twittersphere or whatever we want to call that social web, and I've been following your writings, and I really like your whole attitude about the unmarketing. It's a similar message, I guess, I've been delivering to musicians for a number of years, and then I saw the book. When did the book from Wiley come out?
Just came out in the fall this past fall
of 2010. Yeah, and that's Wiley. They seem to be the main business book publisher, especially in the social media realm. All the people that I follow seem to have books that come out on Wiley. So that's
the funny thing with them was I was talking to my brother who lives in Texas, and who's saying, you know, I got the book offer, and here's the funny thing: back in my music industry days, when you got an offer from a label, you'd shop the offer, right? You go to different labels and see what they would give you.
Sure.
And I called my brother, who was also in the music business with me, and I said, so I got this offer from Wiley, you know, should I be going to other publishers with it? And he says, well, who's your dream publisher? Who's the one that is the pinnacle of business publishing for you? And I said, well, it's them. It's Wiley. Well, then get off the phone, shut up, and sign the deal, and start working with them.
Like, awesome. So yeah, they came to you, or did you have to?
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's
awesome.
They came
to me. Yeah.
Fantastic. Although there's something to be said for a bidding war when you have multiple people wanting you, and you use that leverage, you know.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But I guess there's no reason fighting a good thing.
Right.
But actually, yeah, what you mentioned there is something. I'm just going to read a couple of sentences from your from the first paragraph on your about page on your on your site. It says Scott Stratton, who is the president of Unmarketing, says he is an expert in viral, social, and authentic marketing, which he calls unmarketing. It's all about positioning yourself as a trusted expert in front of your target market, so that when they have a need, they choose you, which is very succinct, nice kind of little elevator speech there, opening paragraph. But the first sentence, the beginning of the next paragraph that really caught my eye, which actually sort of motivated me to reach out to you, it says, formerly a music industry marketer, and I think you manage bands, but that, I couldn't find a whole lot of details about that online, and so that's where I kind of want to start, since my audience are independent musicians primarily, but it also includes managers and publicists and just people involved
right.
in pursuing a music career. But you have roots in this.
I do, and you know, when I tell people I used to manage bands in Toronto, I then always follow it with none of them you've heard of. That's why I'm not doing it anymore. You know, that's pretty much my hook to it. But I really, really opened my eyes and cut my teeth in about community marketing. And, you know, whether you call that fans or friends or followers, it's all the same. And this is like, 15 years ago for me is when I realized how things work and how things don't work properly. And it all really kind of started with just one meeting in Toronto with Craig Morrison, who is the booker for Lee's Palace, which is a famous Toronto venue for artists to play. And I was all young and naive and managing the first band I managed, was actually my brother's band. And I went, you know, riffing in there, and I'm like, we want to play Friday night. And, you know, just totally ignorant of how it all works. And he sat me down and he gave me a piece of paper with one sheet one side and said, here's how it works and here's the rules. And then he kind of just walked me through them. And it pretty much was, this is very simple. This is not a music parlor. This is not a place where we encourage great music. This is a business. And if I'm going to book you on a Wednesday night, and I will book the other bands. And if you bring in four people to the show, and you are the second coming of Led Zeppelin, we are not bringing you back. But if you are the worst thrash polka band in the history of the world, and you bring in 100 alcoholics and they drink like fishes, you're coming back Friday night. And that's what one thing smacked me upside the head, which was, if you want your music to go beyond your own reach, it's a business. And that's what I realized my role was. And the other side of it, and what I found musicians were doing wrong, is actually the fundamentals of what marketing is about. That artists were doing what was called push and pray marketing. They push out a message and they pray people would show up to their show. Pushing is flyers on lampposts. And this guy Craig from Lee's looked at me and said, when was the last time you walked around and looked at a lamppost to see what you're going to do that night?
Right. Great
question. I'm like, you're right. He's right. He's totally right. But that's what bands do. We get the crazy, weird chemical glue and we stick it up on thing. And 3 minutes later, somebody else has stuck a poster over it. And we're creating this visual noise in the city. And he's right. And that's why I came up with the pull and stay techniques for the band. And I didn't invent these. A lot of them are already being done. Like, everybody who came in the door was giving their email address. Now, this is back in the late 90s. So this was still, everybody was rocking an AOL, Comcast, Hotmail hadn't come out yet, email addresses yet. So this is a big thing. And every person that came in, if they gave us their email address, we'd waive the door fee.
Oh, wow. So you were already creating an incentive even back then.
And then we took it up another level, which was, you gave it to me, and if you came to the next show, you were on our VIP list, which means you and three friends could come in free. Then you felt special. And the entire thing was about making not only putting on a good show, by the way, that's kind of the norm. Like, you've got to have that fundamental base down. If you can't put on a show, then none of this will work anyways.
Right.
But if you can put on the show, then people would come back to the show, and they would be, like, VIP, and they would come in, and they'd bring their friends, like, they're with me. You know, it's like the guy at the Velvet Rope, and you could just get them all in. And we are willing to waive the very, as everybody knows, the very little to no profit you'd make anyways at a show for a chance to build a rabid following. And that's how we started creating it. And that's where I realized this is not just a music business thing. This is an every person thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Wow, there's some great lists. And this was your brother's band, right? That you were.
Yeah.
And that's quite often how people get involved in management or just involved in any industry. They're helping out a friend or someone that they or maybe someone that they may not be related to them, but they enjoy their music or their art in some way.
Yeah, I did a talk at North by Northeast, just started their interactive festival, just like South by Southwest. up in Toronto. And last year, my main talk was everything I learned from Lee's Palace in business. And every single thing in the music business applies to me in the business world now. The rule about if you're doing something for free, so for businesses, it's like teleseminars or web conferences online. Just like people coming to a free show, you know that 50 to 75% of the people who say they're coming aren't coming.
Right.
And they will never show up. And the problem is you deal with, on the business side, you go up to a booker of a venue. And I did this at the Opera House in Toronto, so East End of Toronto. Again, another huge famous venue, and I wanted to get the band in there. And I went to the booker and I said, give me a night, give me a Thursday, and I will pick like three or four other bands. We'll rock this thing. And she says, how many people do you think you can have come? And I said, I don't know. I can't predict that. Now, at this time, I had long hair. Obviously, I'm a music business guy. My hair was strung to the middle of my back, and I was the typical rock dude. And I said, look, she goes, can you bring at least 50 people? And I said, if I don't bring 50 people to the show, if they don't have 50 people come out, I will cut my hair. And the show came, and four people came.
Oh, no.
And I ran out the venue before I had to cut my hair. I had more people working the door than showed up. And the problem was I relied on other bands to bring their crowds because we were playing a show the following week in Toronto. So we didn't tap our audience. And it just was a train wreck. So there's another thing is be careful of over-promising and under-delivering. And that's really a lesson for life and for business. And again, right out of the music business.
Yeah, I guess you could always give references to other shows. Well, a show we did last month, we got 300 people or whatever, instead of guaranteeing somebody something, you just let them know some of your past performances and let them extrapolate from that.
It happens, and it's a good lesson because once it's like anybody who's listening to this understands wherever they play music, especially if they're focused on just hyper local at the moment, like just in one city, in one area, is it like anything else in business, it's a very small world. And everybody talks to everybody, especially in that industry. The bookers at venues talk to other bookers. Some places own multiple venues. And you screw a guy over once, and that gets around. And that really comes down to overpromising. Just stop overpromising that stuff. It's the biggest mistake I've always found bands making is overpromising to the venue. If you don't think you can cut it, then you got to come up with another way because it just only looks bad.
Yeah, it'd be better to say, I think we can get 50 people out and then have 100 or 200 show up. Then.
Or just, we have a mailing list of 1,000. We're going to tell everybody. We're not going to play another show in the area for the same month or whatever it's going to be.
Right.
Give them the things you're willing to do, but you just don't promise the number of people unless you've actually pre-sold tickets for the thing.
Right. That's a great tip. I just want to highlight a couple of points that you made before we move on. But that was a lesson. Yeah, that I think everyone should learn, even though it takes some bands getting slapped in the head a couple of times to get it. But yeah, it's often been said that the most important thing to a venue is the cash register ring at the end of the night. How good was the band? Well, let's take a look at the cash register.
That's how good the band is, exactly.
And so it's a couple of things here. One is, no matter what you're dealing with, the media or venues or bloggers or whatever. I mean, a sort of a staple of marketing and just communication is always putting yourself in the other person's shoes and starting with a point of what's important to them before you just go promoting what you have to offer.
You've got to understand what's in it for them.
Right.
Every time.
Because a lot of creative people and artists, when they get this message that it's got to be a business, and I've wrestled with this too, and I've heard this has been for decades now, every panel, it's the music business, it's two words, it's both music and business. And see, I'm a musician myself. I'm not sure, do you play at all, Scott?
Very poorly. That's why I ended up managing bands.
Okay. Well, even though I've been part-time for many years, I'm a pretty active, I'm a pretty decent guitar player and singer and songwriter, and so I come to this from both a marketing and an artist standpoint. And that whole thing about treating it like a business, I can see where that, it doesn't feel like right to some people. But there is a way to combine art and commerce in a way that you can still remain authentic and in integrity. You can still, when you're communicating with a venue person, push the cash register and who you're going to bring and all this stuff, and without over-promising, but still, in your heart, you're going to come there and deliver emotion and art and,
right.
And connection with the fans and all that. And those two things can be married. It's just a tough, tight wire rope for some people, wouldn't you agree?
It is, and I always tell people, you can either write music for you, or you can write it for people to listen to. And it all depends on what you want. If you want to be able to go and play because for the joy of music and play and have a circle of people come out and enjoy it on a smaller scale, then great. And I think you can. There's some great places in a lot of cities where you could do that and have literally 10, 15 people, and they're more than happy to have you in their space. But that's more of an acoustic one guitar, small little venue thing. But if you want to start building this up, you do have to realize there's got to be a business aspect. And people always throw out their stories, yeah, but this band did this and didn't compromise, and this band did this and didn't have to do it. And those success stories, like any success stories in any business, not just music business, but any business, are few and far between. And we have to understand that business does not mean you have to bastardize your art. It does not mean you have to compromise your integrity. It just means you have to realize how things work.
That's a good way to put it. I love these two phrases. You've probably been using them for some years, but I've never heard them quite. But I like the push and pray versus pull and stay. I just love that. Love that concept. And you're right, push and pray is the way that most people think they have to promote. It's throwing stuff out there and sitting in the sidelines and hoping that people will show up.
Literally putting two hands together, looking in the sky and saying, please show up tonight. Somebody please show up tonight. That's how it works.
And the difference, both the mindset and both a set of activities, pull and stay, is create reasons for people to come and reasons for them to hang out and want to be there.
And the pull is important. And what I mean by the pull is you pull their information. So you pull their contact info, whether that's a cell number or an email address. The pull part means you control the contact. So when you have another show coming up, you just don't put it out there and hope people see it. You can actually email your list, or if they prefer, you can just text your list, or you get the word back out to them, but you control the contact versus just hoping they run across the fact that you're playing again in your city. The pull is important because if you don't have that, then you don't have a list to go to.
And these gigs, and that's the first time I've ever heard that too, is letting people in for free in exchange for an email. I've often, there's a lot of bands that say, I'll give you a free download. I'm like, once they're in the venue and you're doing the show, they go, hey, if you want to get a free download of that song we just played, go over to our table or there's a clipboard being passed around and get on the email list and I'll send that to you. That's a kind of a common thing, that's the first time I've ever heard get in free in exchange for an email. Now, I guess those have to be situations where you're playing for the door.
Exactly. It's circumstantial. Like if the door is $5, if you're charging $30 at the door or $20 at the door, it's a little different. But we were doing this when we charged. We had the option of we took the door. So we had the option of either getting $5 ahead, $3 ahead, dividing it by X number of people in the band, or just saying we're going to build a solid list. If you have a list of 100 or 200 people that have been at your show and who have actually sat there and listened to your music, that list of 200 is more valuable than a list of 2,000 people who have never seen you live.
Right.
You've got to understand that is the highest priority and the warmest people to your brand, to your vibe, to your band than anybody else. It's not the size of that list. It's the engagement and the passion of that list.
So this is a quick, probably last question here. It's probably one I should have asked early on. So your book is called Unmarketing, and the subtitle is Stop Marketing, Start Engaging, right? Just give me a little of the philosophy behind what unmarketing stands for.
By the way, the book touches on some of the old Music Day stuff too, so it's fun to kind of go back through those things. And really, at the end of the day, it's for people who hate hypocritical marketing, where we hate cold calls, but we try to do them for our own business, and it's all about kind of authentic stuff and natural stuff where if you're good at writing blog posts and stuff about events and your band and everything, then you write them. If you rather do audio, you do whatever your strengths are at the point. But the whole point is creating a community and creating that pull and stay and staying around them. So, for example, for a band, you build up that fan base. So when you're having a show in their area or a new CD comes out, it's a no-brainer for them. But you've got to build the community first. You can't just pitch and push and push.
Right. It's just not about it's that thing I said earlier about the venues. It's turning yourself, and this is a tough thing for people to do because I always point out that the word self-promotion, I mean, the first syllable in it is self, And so and most people just automatically think of themselves, and it's my CD and my show, and I've got to talk about me, me, me. But you have to realize the person that you're communicating to is thinking the very same thing, me, me, me.
Yeah, me, exactly.
Me, me. So what? How can you position that in a way that's going to interest them? And finding that balance, I guess, between – there's nothing wrong with promotional stuff and making people – some people are so shy that they never make people aware of that they have something for sale. But it's, I guess it's finding a balance between that and being authentic, sharing parts of your personal life, right? It's all.
Yeah, exactly. There is a balance there, and I think we often find our own balance, and that's where it's not everything is about you, and not everything is about music. You know, you're at the end of the day, you're a person, and people are talking to you, and when they get to know you, they're more open to hearing music. They're more open to hearing what you have to say.
So, Scott, where can people find out more about you online?
Anything with the word on marketing attached to it. So on marketing on Facebook, on marketing on Twitter, on marketing.com, or the book's available at any bookstore pretty much, or Amazon or Kindle or iBook or pretty much anywhere you can get your book.
Very, very cool. So I really appreciate you taking the time. This has been everything that I thought it would be and more.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Scott. I certainly did. So if you're a musician, which I know a good chunk of the listeners to this podcast are either working musicians or managers or promoters, somehow involved in the music business. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to go to my site at thebuzzfactor.com. That's my music site, thebuzzfactor.com. And get on the e-zine list. There's a Buzz Factor e-zine that I've been publishing for, 17 years or some crazy number of years, since the mid-90s. Along with that, you get a free copy of this thing called Indie Music Marketing Secrets and a bunch of other goodies that you can find there. So just go to thebuzzfactor.com and click around in the obvious places, and you'll find out more about that. If you are an aspiring author by any chance, and even a lot of musicians think they have a book inside of them in addition to songs and albums and so on. But if you're interested in that at all, I have a separate site at fulltimeauthor.com where I write and blog and speak about that topic. So lots of stuff here for you. All right, I teased you at the beginning of the show with a little bit of a song from the Soul Massage project that Pookie and I are working on. I'm just going to play a little bit more of that song for you to give you another taste of it and be sharing more of that along the way. So hope you're having a great day, have a great week, and I'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks for listening to Artist Empowerment Radio.